In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my minor pet peeves is preachers who start out a sermon with saying something extremely sensational to try to get your attention. And this morning, I don't intend to do that at all with what I'm about to say. I will say it not to shock or be sensational, but as calmly as possible. But I think that one of the reasons that Orthodox Christianity, at least in the United States, finds itself in a precarious place as we begin the 21st century is because of a heresy that people are guilty of in different settings and different places. And I have named that heresy passivism. Not pacifism, that's different, that's the opposition to war, but passivism. And for me, it's just this belief that Christianity is a static activity that gets done to me, and I just kind of need to sit and absorb what's going on around me, because it's really ultimately all about me and my individual salvation. And we can see very much how one would adopt that here in America, because that's kind of an American attitude too. It's about me and my individual salvation. Now, if we look around at different churches and kind of observe things, we can see what passivism might look like. It means just coming to church for one's own spiritual enlightenment and growth. And we have that just in the common practice in the American Orthodox world. I'll come maybe this Sunday, I won't come next Sunday, I'll receive communion today, I don't know if I should or not. As if when to receive communion is my decision, it's not my decision. But people do that. And we find it in various levels throughout the country that people participate in the ministries of the church or don't participate in the ministries of the church. As I look around our church today, I see many people who do participate in our ministries. But when people come to church and only have themselves served, quote-unquote, and don't do anything for the church, that leads to more passivism. I think one of the things that leads to this state of kind of sitting still is not inviting other people to church. And obviously the best thing that we can do is live right, but as our own Norman Smith has pointed out to us at our Tuesday Night Faith and Fellowship, evangelism is not a game of charades. So yes, we want you to have a good example, but ultimately you have to open your lips and invite somebody to come to church. Not playing an active role in the healing and salvation of others. And that usually means nothing more than looking beyond ourselves and asking, what does that person need from me? What kind of good can I do for the person who is right in front of me right now? And then passivism, if we look around at churches, it can mean very often that people regard themselves not as members of the body of Christ, but almost like spectators or diners at a restaurant. And there's a big difference there. You walk in and you wait to be seated so that you can be treated to something, as opposed to walking in and saying, how can I get to work? We aren't spectators at a theater. We are the stagehands, the actors, and the people who pass out the programs and clean up the aisles. We are all of those things and more. And we're not the diners at a restaurant. We are the people who have come to certainly to partake of the mystical supper. But again, we are the kitchen crew, and very often we're the people with our sleeves rolled up trying to unplug the sink in the kitchen. And actually, that's not a metaphor at Holy Trinity. And contrast this attitude of pacifism with this morning's gospel reading. It's the very famous gospel reading wherein Jesus is teaching. Four friends take their friend who is a paralytic. He is on a pallet, a board. They cut a hole in the roof because it's so crowded, which is not that. Remember, what roofs back then were not made of material that required an acetylene torch, but they still had to cut through the roof. They lower their friend in front of Jesus to first have his sins forgiven, then to be healed. Jesus says, rise, take up your pallet and walk. And the man walks out, and the people there say, "We have never seen anything like this." There's a lot of action there. There's carrying somebody. There's cutting a hole in the roof. There's lowering somebody down. There's healing. There's standing up. There's walking out. No wonder there's so much amazement. There's a lot of activity. There's nothing there that even resembles pacifism. Now, the second Sunday of Great Lent is the Sunday of St. Gregory of Palamas. And those who know his life might say to me, "Well, what about Palamas?" Palamas was many things, a 14th century figure who was so amazing, so holy, and so brilliant that people knew he was a saint while he was alive, which was why he was canonized essentially immediately after he reposed. But one of the things that St. Gregory Palamas did was argue in favor of the tradition of prayer of the heart, of still prayer, of contemplative prayer. And there's a very famous running debate that he had with a Western monk named Barlaam, who was very intellectual and criticized people who did the prayer of the heart as navel-gazers. But if we think about it, Palamas was the man of action because prayer is action. Prayer is allowing God to act in my life. And Barlaam, who was the intellect, he was really the pacifist. It's easy to sit around and think about stuff. We do that all the time. We think about ideas, about what so-and-so should be doing with his life, or how this should be work in somebody else's life. Even at the church, sometimes people say, "Hey, I've got a great idea, Father. You should do this." We're good at coming up with ideas, but that's really kind of pacifistic. It's better to work. It's better to let God take root in our lives. So prayer is very much an attitude of activity. And as we consider this call, if you will, not to be passive, to take action, Great Lent is a wonderful time to then do something about it. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, there are people around us who need us. And we need to pick up their pallets and carry them and take care of them. Goodness knows, if there are loved ones in our lives, there are probably times when it is we who have been on the pallet and they who have carried us. That's an important action. Obviously, you don't wait for Great Lent to do it, but now when we're really thinking about the salvation that's come into the world, what better time is there to reach out to someone that needs us and that needs us to pick up a corner of their pallet at least and carry it? But if you think about Great Lent and think about that pallet and think about that maybe you and I in some way are being carried on that pallet, think about these four corners of the pallet of Great Lent. These are not anything terribly sublime. They don't come out of a book. They're just my idea. But I think it's a nice way of looking at this morning's sermon, or this morning's gospel reading. I beg your pardon. Think about one corner. Think about one corner as the services of the church, the Lenten services that we are called to participate in. And to then think about another corner as fasting. And fasting is food, but more than food. Fasting is being more judicious about what we watch on television, the other media that we consume, etc. Confession is a fourth corner of that palette. And then finally, prayer, which is something we do all the time, but we do more of, we hope, during Great Lent, is that fourth corner. And all of these require our action, we non-pacifist Christians, requires our action. The beautiful thing is that if we do these things, if we fast, if we pray, if we come to church, if we confess, then we become healed and we find ourselves no longer on a spiritual pallet, but we ourselves are able to walk more upright spiritually. Now, I've mentioned, and I'll keep mentioning during this year, that I think very much Holy Trinity is at a crossroads, which is to say we've reached this very stable point in the life of our church where we have the luxury of taking care of our deferred maintenance items and building up our infrastructure, with getting a bit more organized in a lot of ways. And I think that God, I know that God is preparing us for the next chapter in the life of this church. I don't know what it will be. But while we pray about our church being at a crossroads, consider this, that every day you and I are at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads where we have to decide, are we going to take action and live as Christians, or are we going to sit? Are we going to sit and expect the faith somehow to come to us? Because after all, isn't the church there to serve us, instead of us being there to serve the church? But since we're at this crossroads, then let's consider carefully how we're going to live out our life, especially right now as we find ourselves on the second Sunday of Great Lent. So what's it going to be? Are we going to tilt towards pacifistic heresy, or are we going to live as engaged Orthodox Christians? After all, I need you and you need me to carry each other to Jesus. And this season is a call to action. So here is some action, very specific action to take. When there's a service in the evening, if you really have to watch it, then DVR Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy and come to church. I can guarantee, by the way, if you miss an episode of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, it won't be the end of your life. Start fasting. If you've been cheating on the fast till now, that's okay. You've got time to catch up. Jesus is very clear about people coming at the 11th hour, and it's fine. Call up your spiritual father and make an appointment for confession and go to confession. If your spiritual father is not here in San Francisco, he will tell you how to handle that. And carve out more time to pray. Do it. Why not? This is the time of year to get re-energized about our prayer. And the wonderful thing is, if you start praying more right now during Great Lent, it will probably carry over till the rest of the year. So this morning, dear brothers and sisters, please stand with me and proclaim pacifism in the church for what it is. A heresy. A gross misunderstanding that gets in the way of our salvation. And take action. Take action and pick up somebody else's pallet. Take action and pray and fast and come to the services and confess. Do all of those things. And who knows? The people that see the change in us might just kind of scratch their heads and look at us with a quizzical look, an amazed look, and say, goodness, we've never seen anything like this before.